It's a pleasure to present some information which is due in large part to my co-author who just recently finished his PhD at Purdue University. His name is Chris Boomsma. By way of introduction, we've had the pleasure over the past 7 or 8 years at Purdue in terms of trying to understand environmental stress tolerance of corn hybrids, and particularly when those corn hybrids are grown at high densities in conservation tillage situations, or in other environments where stress may be imposing some plant-to-plant variability, if not at the beginning of the season, perhaps later on in the season. High plant densities, of course, are going to impact the resources available per plant, whether that is sunlight, whether that is nutrients, whether that is moisture. And as we go higher and higher in plant populations, in order to capture the possibility of higher yields overall, there is an intense competition. And although there are hybrid differences in terms of optimum plant density, which are well known, there is also, I think, an environmental impact on plant-to-plant variability alone, which may constrain getting to higher yields with a particular density at some locations versus others. And I don't think we know enough in corn about stand uniformity, and we particularly don't know enough about plant hierarchies in terms of dominant plants versus dominated plants. And so this study is a part of that continuing exploration. Materials and methods, by and large, I'm going to deal with the last 2 years of his PhD study and just one very small aspect of it. It was done at the West Lafayette Farm on a Chalmers Prairie soil, high organic matter, by and large, six-row planting plots, and where we essentially began with a system that was fall strip till and spring stale seedbed planting into those strips. It's important to recognize that we use starter fertilizer on all of the plots to deliver about 25 kilos of N to all plots. The hybrids are two long season pioneer hybrids, 118 to 119 day relative maturity, 31G68 and 31N28. These hybrids are not rootworm resistant, but they are corn borer resistant. Plant density is three ranges, 54, 79, and 104,000 plants per hectare, or in other words, somewhere around 22, 32, and 42,000 plants per acre. Side dress nitrogen, 0, 165, and 330 applied as side dress UAN. We had the opportunity to essentially look intensively every day at about 4,000 plants during the growing season. And when we did that, we focused on a whole host of measurements, and this is kind of a partial list. But the way that we began is essentially we, as the plots came closer to emergence, we walked the plots every day, and we essentially put in a stake to identify the date on which that particular seedling emerged. Then we followed along those plants, determined things like spacing, determined things like plant height, V stages, and on through the later vegetative and reproductive stages. And we essentially relied on barcoded plants in order to keep track of these plants so that when we did a measurement, whether it was stalk diameter, whether it was height, whether it was leaf number, whether it was leaf area, we know those results on a per plant basis. And this barcoding system was very effective keeping track. The overall results of this are part of a very long paper in the Agronomy Journal. In fact, Chris and I are a bit infamous for publishing perhaps the longest research paper ever in the Agronomy Journal, and I won't even dare to ask how many in this audience have had the patience to thumb through more than 2 pages out of the 26. But in any case, I will say this, that I'm going to focus in today's presentation on the results from 2006 and 2007, and I will say that the yields that we're talking about are essentially in the neighborhood of 14 tons, which is around 225 bushels per acre. For situations where we were fertilizing at the 165 or at the 330 kilogram of nitrogen rate. Of course, yields were very much lower, and especially at high densities of 104,000 at the zero nitrogen rate. But even zero is not zero. You have to recognize that this is where we had essentially applied 25 pounds of starter to everything. One of my concerns is that the reason why yields didn't continue to increase as we went from a population of 79,000 per hectare to 104,000 per hectare is because of the fact that plant-to-plant variability in grain yield went up. And that's sort of evident here in all 3 years of the study. I'm just going to focus here on the last two, but basically the CV is indicated by these lines of the individual plant yield, and they indicate an obvious factor due to nitrogen, that obviously if nitrogen is limiting, you can expect higher CV in per plant yields, but also that overall there is this trend of higher CVs in grain yield at the higher densities. And I maintain that that's one of the things that limits our ability to consistently, let's say, get high yields with these particular hybrids when we go above about 79,000 plants per hectare. It's also fair to say that part of this variability in grain yield per plant is a result of barren plants. And so this is a very small overview of the incidence of barren plants as a proportion of the total plants for the three nitrogen rates only at a single density. So this is just for the density of 42,000 plants per acre or 104,000 per hectare. So in other words, 18% barren plants in 2006, around 4% barren plants at the 165 and 330 kilogram nitrogen rates in both years. Here we're down to below 4, somewhere around 3.5. But my point is that the incidence of barrenness is obviously a function of resource availability, including nitrogen fertility. Now, there are numerous ways of trying to look at variability data like this. One of the coarsest, and I would argue probably the least meaningful, is to do things like correlation coefficients. And correlation coefficients are illustrated here not so much because they are convincing, but because they are unconvincing. So if you were to look at correlation coefficients of the overall incidence of barrenness with the individual parameters that were measured during the growing season for those particular plants, then for instance here at 2006 at zero nitrogen, there seems to be a significant at the 5% level, if you have a longer growing degree day situation, then perhaps there is some effect here. Plant spacing, absolutely no impact. But when you look at things overall, there really is very, very little in the way of an average correlation of barren plant incidence with an individual parameter earlier in the season. But you'll note that I haven't included all of the 25 parameters that we measured. And one of the ones that is a lot more instructive than emergence growing degree days or plant spacing per se is the anthesis silking interval and what's happening in terms of crop growth rate in the period bracketing silking, which I would argue is the most critical time, obviously, for kernel formation as well as for grain yield being attained. Now, just to make sure that you get the point that growing degree days needed for seedlings to achieve emergence has absolutely nothing to do, or very little, I should say, correct myself, very little to do with grain yield per plant, I want to show you a little bit of data. And this is individual points, first of all, for zero nitrogen for the 104,000 plant density, the highest plant density then we had. We broke the yield categories down into barren. Now understand barren meant less than 25 grams per plant. We also went to the lowest 25, the center, or the blue. The center means the center 50% of the grain yields for that particular plot. Okay, so it's for that plot. Summarized for this treatment situation here. And so when we're concentrating here today on barrenness, these are the red points. And these red points are obviously less than 25 grams per plant, and they're plotted here as a function of the change in emergence. This is the mean emergence for the plot, right here in the very center. We can get barren plants whether they emerged early or whether they emerged late. It doesn't have any clear association with barrenness. Similarly, in the central group of blue plants, which yielded in the 50% centroid, you might say, for that particular plot. Again, they can perhaps emerge early, but they could also have emerged 40 growing degree days later than the mean for that particular plot. Now, that's what happens at the zero end. When you go to the 300 end, again, a similar pattern is evident. Fewer barren plants now, again, because of that resource availability issue. But again, you have the same pattern, where you've got plants here, less than 25 grams of yield potential that emerged early versus those that emerged late. Now, obviously, if you have something that is 100 growing degree days late in terms of emergence, then sure, that's going to be barren. But within most farm fields, with well-maintained planters, reasonable driving speeds, good soil conditions, we're going to have an emergence variability that is within 20 to 30 for the majority of our plants. Then the other question is spacing. Everyone tells me that we need to have picket fence spacing. How important is picket fence spacing? Well, it's important to those who advertise their capability of delivering picket fence spacing, but it's not important to the farmer. And the reason I say that is because this incidence of barrenness, which admittedly is higher at the zero nitrogen than at the 300 pound, again, had very little to do with the spacing of that plant. Now, the spacing of that plant was calculated by going from the midpoint of the previous plant in the row to the midpoint to the following plant in the row. And so at a population of 104,000, when you're planting in 76 centimeter rows, your average is going to be around 12 centimeters. And indeed, so for right around the average, you can kind of say at 12 centimeters, sure, we had some barren plants. And yes, if you had something at 5 centimeters away from, in terms of the available space in the row, yes, it was, in some cases, would be barren. But in other cases, it's kind of interesting. You could be right in the centroid of that particular grain yield being attained. Not a high yield, because it's only 0 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. But again, look at this 330 data. Ear sizes now in the center are near 120 grams per plant. And again, you know, even at 5 centimeters, you can still get a reasonably sized ear. And so my point is that barrenness has very little to do with the range that we're seeing in emergence date or in plant spacing. It has a lot more to do with anthesis silking interval. These are just some of the averages that were presented in our Agronomy Journal paper, and they illustrate that ASI, anthesis to silking interval, is going to be longer in situations where you have a higher plant density. But what is more important is the frequency distribution. And so the frequency distribution is shown here for basically the number of plants. And this is 2006, 2007 on the right for the 104,000 plant population, maximum stress environment. And what I essentially wanted to point out here is the fact that when you get to grain yield per plant on the x-axis here, and you look at the group that is in the barren category, it is kind of interesting that the anthesis to silking interval has a lot to do with where those plants actually are. And so anthesis to silking interval, zero would be pollen shed exactly the same day as the silk emergence. And so essentially, you know, we have a lot of our incidents of these barren plants are occurring with an anthesis silking interval up to, let's say, 4 to 8 days later. So that has a lot to do with it. Whereas when you have lots of good resources per plant in terms of a low density situation, maximum nitrogen, then the anthesis to soaking interval is quite a bit tighter. And everything is essentially around zero plus or minus two in terms of number of days. And then this is kind of also reflected, of course, in the total biomass that's achieved per plant. At the 104,000 maximum stress environment at zero nitrogen for 2006 and 2007, and essentially the harvest index goes at 0.55, declines very rapidly, as you would expect. Obviously, if you've got less grain, then the harvest index is dropping very, very quickly. But my point is that it's resource availability that determines the individual plant's harvest index. And the resource availability is a function not so much of planting spacing or plant emergence, except in their extremes. And so my conclusion is that barren plants and high-density corn were much higher when nitrogen was limiting. Number two, that barren plants have very little to do with spacing and seedling emergence delays within the context of the ranges that we saw in our experiment, planting with relatively modern equipment in reasonable soil situations with strip-till. Delayed seedling emergence or reduced spacing, and I haven't had time to show that data today, do make a difference in one sense. If you have delayed emergence and you, on top of that, have a competitive stress involved, where at, let's say, the V13 stage or something like that, the corn plants are shorter, then it is true that if that plant is being out-competed and if its resource availability in terms of space is not there, it could compound the damage created by that very intense environment. But for the most part, it's been interesting to me that there is a lot more association of barrenness with its height, sort of from the V10 to V17 stage, than there is to do with spacing or emergence. And so really what it is all about is competition stress in the period before and after silking, whether the plants can compete at that stage. And the funding was provided through PhD fellowships from Pioneer for the last 3 years. Previous to that, by the Andrews Fellowship, we received some donation of equipment from John Deere, and we're happy to have been able to complete this study at Purdue University. Thank you.